Okay, joined by a special guest today, a guy that here in NASCAR circles, we may not have heard his name a ton of times in the last few years, but he's certainly part of the world, and in my world as a traffic reporter and as a NASCAR reporter, they collide with Patrick Carpentier, the Canadian driver who's made a splash at Open Wheel for many years and made the crossover to NASCAR. And now, Patrick, I'm being told by our friend Deborah Robertson that you're also helping battle the distracted driving epidemic. So before we get to that, happy Monday to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show. Yeah, beautiful day here in Vermont, so that's good.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. So you're in Vermont, huh?
Yeah. Just close to the border and on the U.S. side by Lake Champlain and stuff. So I love it. I love it, actually.
Wow, that's cool. So how long have you lived in Vermont then?
Actually, we just moved last August of last year, so it hasn't been very long. We were in Montreal for a few years and then in Vegas for 12 years before that, so that was different.
All over the place, making a big triangle over North America. I like that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
well, you'll turn it into a square and make the Yucatan Peninsula the next sideways square, something like that. So, and since I'm really bad at geometry. Okay, so what I want to do, Patrick, is ask you a little bit. So I do want to ask you some racing questions, but I think your biggest association right now is with distracted driving and with CARSTAR body shops. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. We just toured in Quebec and trying to make bring awareness to the dangers of texting while driving. And it's funny because it's Deborah that called me and talked to me about it, and my daughter, she's 17 and she's actually taking her license to drive on the streets and all that, and I couldn't believe it. She just keeps texting.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta keep reminding her to stop doing that, and it's pretty bad, actually. It's a habit that's going to become worse and worse with the kids getting their license, and the young kids especially.
So what is it? What are you doing then to combat that? So you've got a daughter that does it, but then you know that other people are. So what are some of the things that you as an experienced, well, professional expert driver are doing to talk to the great unwashed like myself about this?
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, we've discussed this with quite a few people and different manufacturers and stuff like that, and it's so natural for them to have their phones in their hand. That's how they communicate nowadays. They don't call their friends, they just text. They're on Instagram and they spend a lot of time doing that, and for them, if you take their phone away, then they go nuts only for a few minutes. So the best trick is to either put it in the glove box or turn it over and put it on silence. If you don't see the screen, there's a lot less chance you're gonna use that phone. So, and if it's really, really bad, then you have to put it in the trunk. But for them, it's almost impossible. I was talking with someone, and I think they're gonna have. I'm surprised actually they don't have that nowadays. That when you sit in a car, the texting function is disabled automatically. And I'm surprised that the cell phone companies didn't get with the manufacturers to do that. So at least you still have access to your phone if you need to have an emergency or something like that. Or now we have hands-free, so it's not too bad. But texting is becoming, in Canada anyway, the second most important cause for major accidents.
And I hear you say that, and Canada actually has strict hands-free laws, don't they? Because when we developed our traffic app, which is called the Triple Team Traffic Alerts app, here in Atlanta, Georgia, where I am, we have very liberal hands-free laws around here, and up until recently we just passed a new one. But the developers for this app that worked with us, they are in Canada, and their restrictions were pretty high. So even with those strict laws in Canada, it's still considered an epidemic?
It is more and more, and actually it's almost the number one cause of major crashes and death in Canada, and I think in a few years it's going to become the number one cause. So it's really bad. It's going up very, very quickly, and I think it's going to get, because for us it's not as bad. Like for me, even for me, sometimes it's hard. I got to put it away to not do it, and I think it's the same thing for everyone, because today we're all in a hurry. You know, we all want to keep doing business, keep doing our stuff, even though we're in the car. That's the time we take to do the business, and that's a bad thing. I remember the days when we had to stop the car, go to a phone booth to make a phone call. So these days are long gone, and now it's there's a lot more distraction, actually.
And I've been driving since 2002, I guess it was. So I've been driving a licensed driver since around that time, and even the phone booth thing was really past my time. Okay, although I didn't really get into having a cell phone until a few years later. That shows how long it's been since the phone booth days. We're here with Patrick Carpentier, former NASCAR driver, and I'm sure you know still dabbling in other wheels as well. But before we get to that, I want to ask you some more about distracted driving. So you're in Vermont now, and Georgia has just become, as I mentioned, the 16th state to have some sort of hands-free restrictions. Here in Georgia, we can't touch our cell phones now. We can't hold our cell phones or prop them on our body or, you know, hold them to make a phone call. We're allowed to touch them and do certain functions with them, but you have to have your hands off of it. You can't be holding it. And so in Vermont and maybe the area that you're living now, a lot of times I've seen rules be more strict. New York comes to mind. So where you're living now, is that something that you're trying to work with in the United States, or is your main focus with CARSTAR still in Canada?
Yeah, we're still up in Canada that we're trying to do it, because if you look at the laws up in Canada, and especially up in Montreal, they're really, really severe. I mean, if your car is running, even though you're parked and you have your cell phone in your hand, you're talking on it or you're texting, then you'll get a ticket. So it's really to the extreme. You don't even have to be running on the road or driving somewhere to get ticketed. So it's but it doesn't stop it. That's what the problem is. That's what the issues they're going to be facing in the future is, that it just kids don't believe in it. They don't care. They don't think it's a bad thing, and they don't realize that it only, according to statistics, it only takes 3 seconds for a teenager to get involved in a really bad crash. So 3 seconds with your eyes off the road is not a long time. And often when we text, the problem is that we forget that we're driving. We get so involved in the texting that you forget you're driving. And that's when the big crashes happen. And that happens to everybody.
Again, we're talking with Patrick Carpentier here, former NASCAR driver and really involved with distracted driving here. And how did you get involved in this? So CARSTAR, Debbie tells me, is the company that you partnered with it. It makes sense, an auto collision shop or chain of shops. So, I mean, was it just through the sponsor? Was it something that you brought to them? Was it something that because they brought you to it, you became passionate about? How did Patrick Carpentier become a distracted driving spokesperson?
Yeah, it was a timing of things, because at the time I was teaching my daughter on the road and stuff like that, and they called me and we talked about it, and that's what they mentioned. Like, a lot of the cars they get that they have to fix, for sure it's a good business for them, but he says sometimes the stories you hear and what it is are horrible. I mean, some of the things they see often, the kids don't see it and they don't realize how bad it can be. So, and I was just reading this morning, like, a daughter was involved in a crash. She killed her dad and her son. And so it's, I mean, a lot of bad things happen. And for them, they wanted to put the words out. It's like, because I think it's getting worse than driving under the influence, because it's the same thing. If you don't have your eyes on the road, then it's really bad. And we all have the same thing. I mean, we'll take a slight left and then we'll keep texting, and then boom, that's how it happens. So it's just something that you can fight with awareness. Same thing they do with driving while drunk. You know, they're trying to bring awareness, they're trying to tell people how bad it is. And actually, the stats show that texting while driving is getting worse as far as accident, is more dangerous than if you'd be drinking. So I'm telling you, yeah, in the future, it's going to be a big problem.
That's certainly something to draw attention to. And cars now have the infotainment system, so you could do a lot of these interactions hands-free. But AAA here in the United States and the United States National Highway Transportation Safety Association have said that even hands-free is still considered distracted driving. So we're not just talking about putting your hands on your phone. Really, overall, any kind of distraction that involves communication with your device or with your car has been shown to be way more distracting than just the time you may take your eyes off the road, because you're thinking about the text, you're thinking about the next song that's playing, or podcast, or WSB radio, okay, you know, right, if you're trying to change the radio station. So can't forget that, okay? So, Patrick, I want to ask, one of your last NASCAR races, at least in a competitive ride, was what, I think about 2011 or 12 up in Montreal. And I want to know, on that wreck that spun you out, was Stephen Wallace texting and driving? I just want to know, did you ever find out, did Rusty tell you if Steve was texting in the number 66 when he hit you in the 99?
Yeah, we had someone in the grandstands that took a picture and we could see he was texting. No. I'm kidding.
Goodness.
But no, that was racing. I was mad at the time, but that was all good, all fun racing. We had a good time. I raced for 27 years. Don't do it as much anymore. I did a couple of Monster Energy Cup races 2 years ago, Sonoma and Indianapolis. And then I realized that, oh, my God, if you don't do this all the time, you lose your edge a little bit. So that was fun, but that was pretty tough, actually. And it gets really hot inside these NASCAR, and that was pretty tough. I trained a few months before, but still I was not prepared enough for it, so I decided that don't do it as much. Now I'm in construction, and we buy and sell properties and things like that, so it's a bit different than what I've done in the past, but I love it though.
Well, I should have added that to your title, construction and real estate developer, Patrick Carpentier. How much do you follow? So you're not driving now, but I did see a YouTube video, and I don't know how old it was, of you testing a Formula E car. Well, how recent was that, and what did you think of those all-electric Formula-style cars?
Oh, yeah, that was a lot of fun, actually. That was last year, so it was in Spain, and I loved it, actually. Loved it. It's a fun car to drive. It reminded me of the Formula Atlantic that I drove for a few years, and it's a cool car. It's very complicated. Talking about texting while driving, I mean, just following up all the strategies and things you got to do on the steering wheel with these cars to save energy and to do that was very, very difficult. But it's a fun car to drive, and I think the one that's coming next year, in year five, that's going to be the fifth season of the Formula Electric, is going to be twice as powerful and it's going to be much more efficient. So I think that's the way electric cars are going, and you'll see more and more of them on the streets.
And I think that'll be interesting to see as the OEMs start to switch more and more electric, how that unfolds in NASCAR, which is still very, you know, 8-cylinder gas and all of that kind of thing. How much do you follow racing in general, and what series do you follow as a fan, if you still even follow it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We cover all the NASCAR Xfinity and Monster Energy races up in Montreal. So every weekend I go down to Montreal, we go in the studio, and I do the French side of the NASCAR stuff, so I'm pretty happy about that. I love it. I follow it every weekend. We followed Daytona last weekend and enjoyed it very much, so I follow NASCAR a lot.
And you were a part of the sport. You're the season, really, that you were firmly in NASCAR when you ran 24 of the 36 races in 2008, and that was a time where the economy was downturned, and Gillette Evernham Motorsports was probably getting ready to hit rock bottom, and soon they merged in 2009. So you probably had an unfortunate time to have a rookie season, but you started really, your advent in NASCAR was right really when the tide was turning against the sport, it seemed like. What do you think about in the 10 years since then, the trajectory of the sport, and what things have you observed as a racer who's been looking at it from the outside too?
Yeah, if I'm looking at racing in general, one thing I've realized is that any sport right now is much tougher than it used to be to get people in the stands and to get people to watch it. And NASCAR has races that are 3, 4, 5 hours long, so it's fairly long race on Sunday. But they have good racing. I mean, they had a fantastic race this weekend. But even though they have a good show, it's never good enough for the younger generation. They want action all the time. They want the highs to be higher than the last one they've seen. And so it's changing. I mean, and now they have the esports, a lot of electronic sports. And I was talking to a bunch of kids that was a couple of weeks ago, and didn't have any clue about racing in general, NASCAR, F1, or whatever it was. But man, they knew about the e-sport and the e-racing and the series they're trying to get involved into, and the video games and things like that. So it's a different world that we live in today, and sports today have to compete with the internet and so many different things worldwide. In the past, I mean, that's all you had on TV was NASCAR and a football game, and then that was pretty much it, you know, basketball, whatever it was. But in today's world, they have so many different things they can watch and so many sports that compete for the same audience that it's making it more and more and more difficult. And we see it. I mean, we see it in the stands. We see it everywhere. And this is what the biggest challenge for any racing series is going to be in the future.
Certainly. I think that's something that I really hope and trust that the leadership of NASCAR can embrace, and we can try to right things in this sport. Well, one more question for you. Because your career in NASCAR, at least as a full-time driver, was fairly short, do you look back on it and say, have any regrets or things you would have done differently to prolong your career, come at a different time or a different team or a situation, or did it all happen just the right way for you?
Yeah, it's the way it happened. It's funny because I wish I would have gone to the Truck Series or Xfinity Series before I went to the Monster Cup Series. I mean, the Monster Energy Series is way, way, way more difficult and more competitive, and these guys were born in that kind of racing with the late models and all the tracks and the short tracks, and they come into it with a lot of experience, and I did not. But it was the only opportunity I had, so if I was going to refuse it, then I was not going to have another one. So I took it, and I was pretty excited about it, and it's the most fun racing I've ever done. I loved it every weekend with these guys and being at the track, but it was too much. And I remember at that time, it was the era of the open wheel racer. It was me,
yes,
Montoya, Frank Keady, and they were like, oh my God, we're going to take some of these guys. I think they're good. And it's the same thing.
Sam Ornish.
Sam Ornish, that's right, with the young drivers. Now, like the last few years, it's let's get a young guy. Everybody wants to have a young guy, but they still haven't won much. Eric Jones won last weekend, but it takes time. It takes a long time to bring a race car driver up to speed to be ready for the Monster Energy Series. So that's the only regret I have. I wish I would have gone up the ladder, and I think it would have been better. But honestly, I had such a good time. I feel I was blessed to do it, even for three quarters of a season.
Yeah, and I think NASCAR is blessed to have you too. Well, Patrick, good luck in all this distracted driving stuff, and we here at WSB will certainly be in touch to learn more about that. That's been a big initiative here at Georgia that we've been trying to be on top of, so we're glad that there's champions for you like it out there.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks so much, and thanks for having me this morning.
Glad to. Patrick Carpentier, real estate developer, constructor, driver, and distracted driving spokesperson for CARSTAR Body Shops. Sir, I hope you have a wonderful week there. And you sound happy. It doesn't even seem like a Monday, so that's good.
That's right. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Patrick Carpentier joining us here as a champion for distracted driving.
So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.